Is Daniel Jones a legit quarterback? I don't want to have to apologize. I'm going straight to the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top. Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? Mike here, Sports and a Real Podcast, coming at you once again. It's another football weekend. It's officially fall football weather. Some will say football weather is actually like when it gets super cold. Not for us in the South. But I appreciate you guys joining me for a few minutes, as always. Don't forget to like and subscribe and share and all that good stuff. Check out the website, sportsandtherealtv. More coming at you there. But yeah, football season continues, so let's get into it. Got a few thoughts on my mind, trying to get them out real quick before the weekend ends. We'll start with college football, as always. So here's what bothered me this weekend about college football, all right? And I've been talking about this cap for a couple weeks now, and people probably think I'm a hater. I'm not a hater, but it is what it is, right? So Arch Manning finally played well. Like, he had a really good game this weekend against Sam Houston. Don't even know if they had a football team, right? Obviously, I'm just playing. But he played Sam Houston, and they beat him badly, as you would expect. And he played well. He threw for 309 yards, three passing touchdowns, two rushing touchdowns. Really good game by all measures, you could say. Right? Here's my problem. Here's what made the news for Arch Manning this weekend, which to me is a problem, right? And it shows that maybe all the talk's getting to his head. Maybe the pressure's getting to him. I don't know. But if you're Arch Manning playing for Texas, formerly a Heisman favorite, preseason Heisman favorite, your team was number one ranked. You know, you got to, compared to Sam Houston, you got a stacked squad of cats who are going on to the NFL. Sam Houston's probably not going to have anybody going to the NFL. You're playing against a bunch of what the kids call plumbers, right? Apologies to all plumbers out there. And you're sitting there, you know, he scores a touchdown, and he's sitting there, you know, staring at the cat, standing over the cat. That, come on, man. You're better than that. Like, you're supposed to be better than that. But to me, that kind of shows, like, that's like a, you know, the armor's kind of pierced a little bit. It's getting to him a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like the all the talk, it's not just me. The major talking heads are definitely talking about him. And the pressure is mounting. The pressure is mounting for Arch Manning to play well an actual game that matters. Not against freaking Sam Houston, bro. Come on. Yeah, you had a good game. Take that. Build on it. Do what you're supposed to do, what you're expected to do, right? What your uncles laid out for you in front of you, right? That gave you all that traction to become Arch Manning, you know, this super hyped up cat that we don't know if he can actually play or not. Now live up to it. Don't talk trash to somebody from Sam Houston who, after this season, I don't know if he's a senior or not, may not ever step on a football field again unless he's playing flag football with his boys at the playground. All right? So be ready to play for real when the real schedule starts. Show us what you really got in those games. Then you can talk some trash. Then you can stand over a cat after you score on him. But don't do it over Sam Houston. All right? This dude is literally on the verge of becoming like Christian Laettner type, you know, hatred in the way Christian Laettner was hated for Duke in college basketball. Like, random, regular Duke white player, right, got all these, J.J. Redick, like, who got all the hate from college basketball fans. You don't do that to Sam Houston, bro. Just go about your business. Be more like your Uncle Peyton, you know, who rarely showed any emotion, just, you know, scored a touchdown, went about his way, right? Put his hands up, you know, and went about his business. But you look real tacky standing over Sam Houston. That's all I'm going to say about that, all right? Enjoy your win. Enjoy your big day. Play better, you know, against good teams, and you'll get celebrated. There'll be less noise about you in the media, and, you know, you'll be you know, who people expect you to be. Otherwise, this means nothing to us. All right? So let's get at that. Let's get that out of the way. All right. More college football. So Clemson, turns out, is not that good. And I talked about the SEC being overrated and preseason polls not mattering because all they do is hype up SEC teams. Clemson is not an SEC team. They're an ACC team. And Clemson was vastly overrated. Vastly. They lost this weekend to Syracuse. The score was 34 to 21. Syracuse's quarterback ends up getting hurt. The score wasn't really even that close. The game was bad. They could not stop Syracuse from the very beginning. Syracuse marched right down on them, and they did whatever they wanted. And Clemson, the problem with Clemson to me is they look like they got a squad. Like, if you watch them play, like, they look like they got athletes. They got position players. Their receivers are fast. They catch. But for whatever reason, they can't put it all together. Their defense is supposed to be better, but they can't put it all together. They can't stop anybody. They hung in there with LSU, who's a really good team now. Georgia Tech beat them at the buzzer, which probably shouldn't have happened, but Georgia Tech turns out is better than people thought. Okay, cool. But Syracuse is not a ranked team at all. And they just ran up and down the field. And they probably could have scored more points. So how the hell did we get Clemson so wrong? How was a Dabo Sweeney team so, I don't know. Like, they got the talent, but they're poorly coached, it looks like. Like, they look like they're out of position a lot. Like, Syracuse exposed Clemson, and I don't know why that is. So this is 3 years running now where they're just not a good team. They already have three losses. 2024, they had four losses. The year before that, they had four losses. They already got three. They're probably going to stack a couple more losses. And it's like, what the hell is going on? Now, nobody's calling for Dabo's job, and he ain't going nowhere because he got a fat deal. His buyout is fat. So he ain't going nowhere, but how did we get to this point with Clemson to where you're looking at Clemson the way you're looking like at UF? Now, UF obviously looks worse, and UF got the SEC, you know, hype. So they were supposed to be good, probably only because they were in the SEC. Now, DJ Lagway was supposed to be good. He's been a disappointment, but what's around him doesn't look all that great either. But he's throwing picks like crazy, and he's inaccurate. I thought he was going to be good. Number one quarterback coming out of high school. But he looks bad. But anyway, that's Florida. Different topic. We know SEC is always overrated, but Clemson's looking like the ACC version of Florida. Is how did you get that hyped up? You got the talent. You got the skilled players. You got the guys on defense. Like, Clemson's going to have a lot of guys on their team go pro, but they're not playing like pros right now. And you're wondering what is going on in that. What is going on in that locker room? What's up with Sweeney? Has he lost control of his program? What the heck is going on with Clemson? So as much as I was saying the SEC is hyped up at the beginning of the season, true. Overrated, true. It looks like Clemson was overrated as well. That's terrible. I mean, the talent is there. They just don't look, and even on the broadcast, like, they were talking about, like, these guys are talented. Louis Riddick was like, yo, these dudes are talented, but they're just not executing. I think, was it Booger McFarlane was saying these guys are talented as well in the studio? They're poorly coached. How do you say that about a Dabo Sweeney two-time national championship guy? How do you say that? I don't know what else to say. I mean, obviously, I'm not an analyst. I don't break down tape. I couldn't tell you. But from what I'm seeing on TV, they have the talent. They got the guy. The guys, they still have speed on the outside. They're supposed to be better than they are. Unlike other teams where you're like, these guys just don't have the talent. They were overhyped. They have the talent, and they're just not putting it all together. So Clemson got to wake up. Moving on. Bill Belichick's about to get fired. And I said it last year or the year before, right? Leaving New England. Bill Belichick just seems like one of those guys who the current generation just, it doesn't fit him, whether in the pros or college. I don't think his coaching style, I don't think Bill Belichick's coaching style or message fits with the modern day athlete. It fits with a Tom Brady who's driven, who's self-driven, who can stand between you and be your liaison and essentially the coach on the field. Cats listen to Tom Brady because he was out there grinding with them and he was winning and cool. I don't know if college is right for Bill Belichick, just like I didn't think the modern day NFL player was right for Bill. So now he's at UNC getting his doors blown off by the likes of UCF. They lost 34-9 to UCF. They got a 2-2 record. TCU smashed them. And I don't know if the message is going to get across, man. These modern day athletes need, they just need a different type of voice, man. And I don't know if Bill B is that type of cat to switch his style. He seems like a nice guy when he's on TV, you know, being interviewed or, you know, in these studio shows, you know, he did last year, whatever, inside the NFL, doing people's podcasts, you know, like he seems like a cool cat. But I don't know if as a obviously I'm not on the team, but I don't know if as a football coach, Bill Belichick can actually get along and his message gets across to modern day players. And he's still, you know, the same, you know, kind of cat who holds grudges and, you know, he's still that type of cat, right? He's not letting Patriot scouts attend practice. So he's holding a grudge. So he's still the same old Bill Belichick. And that to me, I think is a problem because today's athletes, they may not take well to it. They may do it because they're on scholarship. They have to do it, right? I have to do it to keep my – I got to do what he says. I got to play, right? Because that's my ticket to the NFL. I may not be getting the top dollars yet. So I'm going to do what he says. But are they really doing it because they love their coach? They believe in him? Probably not. Like, they're getting smacked around. And you would expect a Bill Belichick team may not have all of his guys there yet, but you would expect a Bill Belichick team to be more competitive on defense and to be more sound, more fundamental. And when you watch them, you don't see that. Again, he'll probably get a couple years to figure it out, bring in his guys. I don't know how well he's recruiting. But these kids are a different animal, man. Trying to coach nowadays is tough. They don't listen like that, man. They really don't. Take it from somebody who's coaching kids AAU basketball. It's different. Trying to teach them the fundamentals? You're an old head. What are you talking about? That's really what it is. Like, they don't take to teaching from old heads like they do, especially if you don't fit their style, their communication style. They don't take to teaching like that, bro. They don't take to coaching like that. And if you're coming in like Bill B, I've been in the NFL, you know, I'm Hall of Famer type of cat. I won six Super Bowls. Like, I'm like that. Yeah, I don't know if these kids going to listen to Bill B. So, yeah, UNC is going to have some decision if this keeps up, man, because 34-9 at UCF, ouch. UCF ain't like that. All right, so that's college football. My thoughts on college football, y'all. NFL. Let's talk some NFL. Are Eagles fans a little bit worried about their defense? Because I am. They won again. And honestly, if I'm an Eagles fan, I'm a little bit concerned about my defense. Opening night, you know, although, you know, they beat the Cowboys, I thought the Cowboys' offense looked relatively good against a Super Bowl winning defense. But I don't think their defense has looked really, really great all season. And honestly, if it's not for Matthew Stafford looking like a scrub for a lot of the game, I don't know if the Eagles actually win. They probably take an L. Their offense didn't get untracked until second half. But even still, their defense, like, the Rams were moving the ball on them, and Matthew Stafford wasn't that great at all. Like, he was overthrowing dudes, throwing over dudes' heads. Like, come on, man. Like, if Matthew Stafford played like a B-level quarterback on Sunday, the Rams beat the Eagles. Because they were literally, they were running on them, they were passing on them. They did almost whatever they wanted. But when they got into the red zone, Matthew Stafford decided to throw over dudes' heads like he was coin shaving. I don't know what the hell's wrong with him. And, you know, they ended up winning. They blocked a field goal, you know, field goal attempt to win the game. Jordan Davis runs it back. Didn't really matter. But their pass rush wasn't getting home at all. And they were getting run over in the run game. So I don't know what the excuse is for the Eagles defense, to be honest. Like, the first game, they weren't really getting to Dak. And you could say, well, Jalen Carter was out, you know, after getting ejected, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what the excuse is now for the Eagles, but the defense looks really suspect. They got to get better. Their offense is still, I believe their offense is going to get on track, right? They got too much talent, too many dudes. But the defense usually at the beginning of the year, defense is ahead of the offense. And right now, they don't look good at all. They got bailed out. The Eagles got bailed out by Matthew Stafford overthrowing dudes, throwing high, like throwing wide. Like, what the hell was up with Matthew Stafford? He tell you, if he plays a B-level game on Sunday, the Eagles take a L. So that's something to watch, I think, for the rest of the season. I don't know if Eagles fans are worried, but just an outsider third party looking in, Eagles defense looks a little suspect to me. So we'll keep an eye on that. Cowboys suck. Specifically, the Cowboys defense sucks. And everybody looks good against the Cowboys now. If you're a quarterback and you're struggling, go play the Cowboys, bro, because you're going to ball out. You're going to have a game. And I don't know how the Cowboys fix that. They made Russell Wilson look amazing, throwing bombs all over the place, looking like 2013 Russ Wilson. Caleb Williams, who I criticized last week, who struggled mightily, who struggled the first two weeks. But he looked tremendous, career game against the Cowboys. Like, whoever plays the Cowboys, you're going to have a nice game because the defense isn't good. So your offense is going to score a lot of points. You're going to look amazing, and you're going to fool a lot of people because people are going to think, oh, man, this guy's great. Maybe, maybe not. We were all back on the Russell Wilson bandwagon. Maybe not. But he looked tremendous. And everybody looks really good right now against the Cowboys. And now it's like, can Dak keep up with the scoring? And we don't know if Dak can keep up with the scoring. CeeDee Lamb is hurt now. Well, who knows how long he's going to be out with an ankle injury. So the Cowboys are in trouble. Because they can't stop a nosebleed. So who knows what's going to happen now, because it's all on their offense. The offense has to score every time they touch the ball, because somebody like the freaking Bears gets to score anytime they touch the ball. And the next team's going to score every time they touch the ball. The Giants scored almost every time they touched the ball. It's too easy, bro. So the telecast is talking about Marty Ball and, you know, Schottenheimer is the new coach. And he's supposed to be, you know, bringing more balance to the offense and the running game. Everything's out on Dak's shoulders. Well, it doesn't freaking matter. All right? It doesn't matter because your defense sucks and everybody gets to ball out against the Cowboys. Unfortunately. Like, literally, Caleb Williams looked like a Pro Bowler. He looked like the guy back at USC, the Heisman Trophy winner. Another disappointing season to be a Cowboys fan. Damn. Speaking of Russell Wilson, so here's my takeaway. Russell's going to look good against teams that have bad defenses, and he's not going to look good against teams that play good defense. That's going to be the Russell Wilson story for the year. All right? And as I watch Russell Wilson against the Cowboys versus what he did this weekend against the Chiefs, Russell Wilson is really just a mini version of Caleb Williams. And he's been that way his whole career. And I feel like because he won the Super Bowl, you know, he kind of got a pass. But Caleb Williams, USC, comes to the league, you know, playground style of football, run around, you know, all he did in the Pac-12 and throw to open dudes. Russell Wilson was that guy in Seattle. Background football, not really scripted. That's what we remember Russell Wilson for. Deep bombs, his deep bomb is still one of the prettiest passes in the league. Like, his arc is amazing. Like, it's great until he throws into double and triple coverage and he gets picked off by the Chiefs in the end zone and passes he shouldn't have thrown. But Russell Wilson deep bomb looks amazing. But what he ain't going to do is sit there and methodically drive a team down the field, three-step drop, pass. Five-step drop, pass. Not no 10-yard out. He's throwing a bomb, and it's going to look really good. So as I watch Russell Wilson play and I watch how he goes from one week against the Cowboys to the next week against the Chiefs, and it just looks like two different people and it doesn't work, Russell Wilson is mini Caleb Williams, or Caleb Williams is Russell Wilson 2.0, meaning guys who unstructured look really good, who are able to scramble and get away from pressure. But when it comes down to like being like methodical, structured, like I said last time, Tom Brady-esque, just taking an easy play, marching your team down the field, neither of those dudes are it like that. So Caleb Williams looked really, really good against the Cowboys. Pro Bowler, Heisman, whatever you want to call it. But can he continue that? Of course, I'm going to get called a hater when I question it. But are we confident that he can look like that against good defenses? We'll wait to see. So that's my takeaway as I watch Caleb Wilson. Like, damn, he reminds me of Russell Wilson. Just a guy who, you know, runs around, does his thing. You know, you can't really tackle him. And he makes a couple of splash plays. And, you know, Russell Wilson won, so he gets a lot of credit. But he played with a tremendous defense. I've been holding off on saying this. I really don't want to say it as we move on to the next topic. Is Daniel Jones a legit quarterback? I don't want to have to apologize. Daniel Jones is like one of the league leaders. You could say he's been like top 3-5 quarterback in the league so far this season. Yeah, that Daniel Jones. New York Giants tripping over himself in the open field, Daniel Jones. How does this happen? We've seen quarterbacks change teams and look great. Heck, Baker's doing it right now. He's done it for the last 3 years in Tampa Bay. Sam Darnold looked great for a year in Minnesota after a terrible career. But Daniel Jones, man, I thought should have been out of the league. If I'm lying, if I like, I can't deny it. He has looked good. He has looked like a legit starting quarterback. So the question has to be asked, what the hell was up with Daniel Jones in New York? What was up with Dable, who was the golden head coach after coaching Josh Allen in Buffalo? How was Dable not able to get anything out of Daniel Jones, but freaking Colts, he's looking like Joe Montana or somebody out there. Super efficient, 72% passing, completion percentage, three passing, three rushing TDs, zero picks. Daniel Jones has the third most passing yards in the league so far. Right now, he's the best quarterback in the AFC South because C.J. Stroud ain't looking like that. How did this happen? So now he's got the Colts looking like a for real team because Jonathan Taylor is still Jonathan Taylor. He's still like that. Ran all over the Titans. The Colts punted for the first time this weekend against the Titans. They smashed my Dolphins week one, made Tua look garbage. We'll get to that in a second. They hit up, they beat Denver at the buzzer. And they smashed the Tennessee Titans. Are the Colts for real with Daniel Jones? What is going on? Listen, shout out to anybody who can revive their careers. Congratulations. And I guess I was just dead ass wrong. Because I was like, Daniel Jones is the worst quarterback I've ever seen start in the NFL for an extended period of time. I guess the Colts have unlocked him. Good for them. I hope he can keep it up. And shut me up, because that's crazy. Ain't it? Y'all don't think that's crazy? That's ridiculous. Daniel Jones has the highest yards per attempt in the league. He has the highest yards per attempt, and he's completing 72%. That Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones running in the open field, tripping over himself. Daniel Jones throwing like the worst interceptions in the history of the NFL. Daniel Jones is leading the league in yards per attempt with 72% completion percentage. Three passing touchdowns, three rushing touchdowns, no picks. That Daniel Jones. I guess now he's Danny Dimes. Danny the Dimer. Sports is crazy, man. Sports is crazy. Anything is possible. So shout out to Daniel Jones, man. Doing your thing. We'll see if he can keep it up. Then, you know, I have to apologize. Keep apologizing. It is what it is. All right. So as an NFL fan, my team's football season is over. All right. The Miami Dolphins football season is over. 0-3. They got three L's. Tua throws another bad pick to end the game against the Bills on Thursday night. They're playing Monday night, next Monday against the New York Jets. They're probably going to win that game. As a Dolphins fan, this sucks. And you know what sucks even more as a Dolphins fan? I got to say this. Teams with really good quarterbacks, you can trust your quarterback at the end of a game to not break your heart. As a Dolphins fan, I haven't been able to watch a 2-minute drive without blood pressure medication or something in like 30 years since Dan Marino. Because every quarterback the Dolphins have had for the last 30 years, you can't trust them in 2-minute situations because they might throw a pick. And Tua is the latest example where you're watching a game, final drive, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it is, crucial drive. You cannot trust Tua to not make a mistake. And it's been like that for the last 30-some-odd years as a Dolphins fan, and I'm sick of it, man. I want a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. I want a quarterback like Lamar Jackson. Like, I want somebody like Josh Allen, who I can trust for the most part to make the right plays in critical situations and lead my team down the field and score a freaking touchdown when I need it. I'm tired of suffering, man. So for 3 freaking straight weeks, well, first week doesn't count for Tua because he was just garbage that whole game. But against New England, crucial drive, he throws a pick. Against Buffalo, crucial drive, throws a pick. Every freaking time. So as a Dolphins fan, you're sitting there watching the game, hoping, you know, your team goes downfield and gets in field goal percentage and field goal position if you need it, or touchdown. You're scared as hell because you doubt you have a QB who can do that. When will my team, when will the Dolphins get an actual quarterback who can have the fans be comfortable in a 2-minute situation? Like, you know, my quarterback's good enough to take us there. Obviously, he ain't going to succeed every time. But Chiefs fans watch Patrick Mahomes when he doesn't succeed in a 2-minute to bring his team down the field. You're like, oh, man. Shocker. Whereas for the Dolphins right now, if Tua actually does lead us to a score to win a game, it's like, oh, man, shocker. Because the expectation is like, he's going to turn the ball over. He's going to throw a bad pick. Something crazy is going to happen, and we're not going to win. That's a terrible feeling, man. That sucks. So as a Dolphins fan, we're 0-3, and football season is over for Dolphins fans. I can't imagine, I've said this before, I can't imagine being a football player sitting at 0-3, knowing your football season's over, and you got to play 14 more weeks. Obviously, as a competitor, you don't give up. You're still playing. You're still hopeful. But this team, right, it's not like a good team where you're confident they can bounce back. This team is bad. Not only is the defense bad, but the offense is bad because you can't trust the quarterback now. He doesn't have much time to throw. True. But we knew that coming in. That's why I said you can't give a quarterback like two or 200 mil, because the rest of the team is compromised and he can't carry like that. So as a Dolphins fan, we're stuck. $200 million quarterback, roster is not good, defense is not good, offense ain't good. And now I'm hearing there's been rumors about Tyreek getting traded. Like, if the Dolphins trade Tyreek Hill, we might as well cancel the season. Dolphins fans, the Dolphins trade Tyreek Hill, this is like 2007 all over again. I don't know. Because this team ain't going to win jack. Like, the one threat for Tua? Obviously, Jalen Waddle's really good, but he doesn't put fear in people like Tyreek does. Like, Tyreek forced Buffalo to adjust their defense. And he got open a couple of times, even being double-teamed. So if those rumors are true, I don't know how true they are, but I read them. If the rumors are true that Tyreek, you know, is being shopped around or teams are interested or whatever, now that the Dolphins are 0-3, might as well cancel the season, man. Because Tyreek is to us the ultimate safety blanket. Just throw it up. Tyreek down there somewhere. So if the cheetah's gone, Dolphins in for a long year, bro. Long year. Well, we're talking about Mike McDaniel's last season. How much longer can we stand with Tua? Can anybody want to trade for Tua? $200 million? Tough. That's tough, man. It's terrible. Like, I just want to have a quarterback. And unfortunately, we couldn't win a Super Bowl with Dan Marino. But I just want to have a quarterback that I can trust and not be scared every time he drops back to throw a pass in a critical situation that he might throw it straight to the other team. straight to the other team. There is no excuse for that interception against the Bills. Guy was right there. Boom. Right to him. What the hell are we doing? What are we doing? Man. Another losing season as a Dolphins fan. It's unfortunate, man. Where is Dan Marino when you need him? By the way, shout out to Dan Marino. I think he has liver disease diagnosis, something like that. That's tough, man. That's tough. Hoping for the best of my guy, Dan Marino. All right, y'all. That's all I wanted to talk about today. I'm just depressed, man. I am a depressed Dolphins fan. How about that? I'm just depressed. But I'm going to catch you guys next time. Appreciate y'all hanging out, talking some football. Let me cry a little bit, shed some tears. Appreciate you guys. Y'all have a good week. Catch you guys next time. Mike, sports of the real shit. Y'all be good. Peace. I'm going straight to the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top.